Okay, good evening, everybody. So today, Bez Hashem, we're going to be learning Chul and Daf Nun Hey. We left off on Daf Nun Dalet and Beis. About 8 lines from the end of the page, we are at Amar Rav Nachman. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we're going to talk about today's. First, we're going to start the Sugya. We're going to go through the whole Sugya of Ad V'Ad Bechlal or Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal in the context of the shear of a Nekev that would make the animal a trait. So when we give a particular size, do we mean including that size? That up until that size is not a trefa, so including that size is not a trefa, or only beyond that, or only up until that size is not a trefa, but in that size itself would be a trefa. So we're going to bring rayas from 5 or 6 different places, whether we say ad v'ad v'chlal or ad v'lo ad v'chlal. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether an animal becomes a trefa if the spleen is punctured, because the Mishnah talks about a spleen being removed, not making it a trefa. What about if there's a hole in the spleen? Then we're going to talk about kidneys. If there's kidney disease, if the kidneys are shriveled in some way, whether that would make the animal a trefa. Then the Gemara is going to discuss lungs that are shriveled because the animal was frightened by a noise, and the noise may make a difference whether the noise came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu or the noise came from a human being, and what's the status of a noise that came from an animal that frightened this animal so much that his lungs became shriveled. And then the Gemara is going to talk about it, whether there's a machlokas about an animal that's missing all of its skin, or whether really all the Tanaim agree about an animal that's missing all of its skin. And then we talk about where on the body some skin has to remain in order for the animal to be kosher. So there is some shear of skin, but does it matter where it is on the body that skin still remains? And then the last discussion of the daf is the status of the Beis HaProsos, the Orbeis HaProsos, as far as being Matzil a Gluda, and as far as Tumas Nevela, and as far as Machsheves Pigel, meaning the skin on the part of the animal's feet where it steps down, where it walks. So does that have a din of regular skin? Legabe, the halacha of Gluda, of a skinned animal, legabe, the halacha of Basar with Tumas Nevela, and legabe, the halacha of Machsheves Pigel. So let's begin again. We're about 8 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. So we had said in our Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that the amount, the size of a hole in the kana of the animal that would make it a trefa is only that up until an Isri Yitalki, the hole would not make it a trefa. But what he did not make clear was whether if it's exactly the size of an Isri Yitalki, does the animal become a trefa or not. So Amar Rav Nachman, Kisela ki yasar mi kisela. When it comes to the size of a hole in the skull of an animal, where we say up until the size of a sella, it would not be a trefa. If it's exactly the size of a sella, that's like being more than a sella, and it would be a trefa. And similarly, ki isar. When it comes to a hole in the kana, where we said up until a ki isar, it will not be a trefa. If it's exactly a ki isar, it will be a trefa. Alma kasav Rav Nachman ad velo ad bichlal. So it seems that Rav Nachman holds as a matter of principle that when we say something is a size ad, it means but not including that exact size. That once you hit that exact size, then that's already in the next level. That's already considered to be larger than. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's bring rayas from elsewhere. Is it really true that ad velo ad bichlal? So the first raya is going to be from a Mishnah in the 19th perek of Meseches Kelim, where the Mishnayos talk about if you have a bed, and the way they would make their bed is that they had a basic frame, and then they would run strings through the frame, and it's through those ropes that they ran through the frame that it's on those ropes that they would rest the mattress. But a lot of times they had an extra string at the end that stuck out beyond the frame. So is that string considered part of the bed? And therefore, if the bed is tame, it becomes tame with it, or it does not become tame with it, or is that string considered an independent entity? So Esfei, Rav Rav Nachman, Rav challenges Rav Nachman from the Mishnah Maseches Kelim that talks about the extra rope after you strung the bed. Chevel Yotzi Min Amita, the rope that sticks out of the bed, that it's outside of the bed frame ad chamisha tfachim. If its length is up until five tfachim, so it's the tahar. Then even if the bed becomes tame, the rope is going to be tahar, because such a short rope that's less than five tfachim has no function, and therefore it's not considered part of the bed, because it doesn't serve to help the bed in any way or to service the bed in any way, and therefore it does not go along with the bed. So my love chamisha kilamata, but doesn't that mean to suggest that if it were exactly five tefachim, that would be the same as being less than five tefachim, against what Rav Nachman is saying? Because Rav Nachman says ad velo ad bichlal, and over here where he seemed to be saying that chamisha kilamata, that it's ad the ad bichlal. The Tiferes Yaakov explains what gives the impression that chamisha is kilamata. He says because the chachamim never give shiurim that are not complete shiurim. They don't say like 4.8 or 4.9. They always give a shiur shalem. So therefore, since the Mishnah is coming to explain the shiur of a rope that would be tahar, and it says up until 5 tefachim, it cannot be that it's really only up until 4.9 tefachim, because we always try to give a shiur shalem, and that's how we know that it must be that chamisha is kilamata. So it says, Marallah, chamisha kilamayla. Maybe no, maybe ad velo ad bechlal, and if it were exactly 5 tefachim, it would be like a longer rope, which would in fact become tame along together with the bed, because it's roughly for use, meaning if it's longer than 5 tefachim, you could use it to lower the bed by holding onto that rope when you need to lower the bed into a mikveh to be tovel it, or for anything that you might need to lower it for. So therefore, that is not a good raya. So it says, well, let's try again. Tashma, raya number 2. Again, on that same topic of a string that protrudes, that sticks out after you finish stringing up the bed, mechamisha viadasara, if the rope is between 5 and 10 tefachim, then tame. Then when the mita becomes tame, that rope becomes tame as well, because that is a functional rope that helps the mita. So my love, asara kilamata, doesn't that mean that if it were exactly 10 tefachim, it would be the same as it being 6, 7, 8, or 9 tefachim, that it's ad viad bichlal, and against Rav Nachman? So it says, well, lo, asara kilamayla. Who said? Maybe asara is kilamayla, that it's ad velo ad bichlal, and if it were exactly 10 tefachim, then it would be considered to be the same as being more than 10 tefachim. There's a question. If you have a rope, let's say, that's 11 tefachim long, let's make it obvious, right? So it's 11 tefachim long, so you know that it's no longer, meaning what we say, the rope that sticks out of the bed up until 5 tefachim is not part of the bed, is not functional, and therefore does not become tummy with the bed. Between 5 and 10 tefachim, that's your sweet spot. That's when it's considered something functional, and that's where it will become tame along with the bed. More than 10 tefachim will not become tame along with the bed, because it doesn't have functionality. So what if you have an 11 tefach rope that sticks out of the bed? Do we say that it's just not tame at all, or that it's not tame past the first 5 tefachim? Meaning, yesh b'chal masayim mana, an 11 tefach long rope has the first 5 tefachim also, so maybe the first 5 tefachim of that rope become tame, and the rest is tar. So this is a machlokas in the Achronim, the Teferis Yisrael, the Maseches Kelim, in the Yachin section, writes that the entire rope is not tahar, only up until asara tefachim is up until 10 tefachim rather is tameh, right? Not 5, I misspoke. Up until 10 tefachim is tameh, and anything beyond 10 tefachim is tahar. And the Tiferes Yaakov says, no, the whole thing is tahar. Once it's too big of a rope to provide necessary functionality, so the whole thing is considered to be tahar. So anyway, so that is the rejection of raya number 2. Now for raya number 3, we move on to a different topic, to the topic of a kli cheres. The halacha is that a kli cheres can only become tameh from the inside of the kli. It cannot become tameh from the outside of the kli. It's actually this week's parsha, a little daf yomi coincidence, that if it's mukaf tzamet pasil and it's in an oel ames, that it cannot become tameh. So the halacha is that once a kli cheres becomes tameh, if you break it in a way that it ceases to be functional, it becomes tahar. But if you break it in a way where it's still functional, where it still has a base kibul, where the broken shards of it are still useful, so then it retains its level of tumah. So Tashma says, well, let's bring a raya. Hadakin shebe kli cheres. Let's say you have small pieces of a kli cheres. Hain, but whether it be when they're shalem as they were created, v'karkroseyan, or whether it be just the bottom of the kli after it broke, v'dofnoseyan, or whether it be the walls of the kli after it broke, yoshvin shalom misumachin, if they're able to sit on the ground without being supported, without needing to to hold it up with anything, and you can they can hold a mashke in it, so they're still considered kelim to be mekabel tuma shiuran. So the shear of such kelim, of such broken shards, in order to still be mekabel tuma, is bikatei sichas katan, that it can hold enough oil to anoint a small limb of a baby, and the ad log up until the size of a log, but a klicheres, that when it was large enough, it could hold more than a log. I'm sorry, not up until the size of a log. That shear of a broken kli would work for any kli that's up until the size of a log. Meaning, if the kli, when it was functional, when it was complete, when it was whole, could hold up until a log of shemen, then in its broken state, the shear would be kidei sichas katan, the amount that could hold enough oil to anoint a small limb on a baby. But a kli cheres, that while it was shalem, could hold more than a log, then the broken pieces that could be mekabel just kidei sichas katan are not significant enough, they're not substantial enough, and they would not be mekabel tuma, because people wouldn't use it anymore, wouldn't use such a tiny broken piece from a kli that started out as a large kli. So my lav log kilamata. What if the kli originally could have held exactly a log? So is that would that be the same as something that could hold up until a log, or would that be like something that could hold more than a log? So the assumption is that it's kilamata, that it's something that could hold 90% of a log. So it says, well, log kilamaila. Who says? Maybe if it was exactly a log, it would have the status of something that could hold more than a log, and therefore, if the broken piece can only hold kidei sichas katan, it would not be tame, it would not be mekabel tuma. So says Gemara. Okay, let's move on to raya number 4 on the same topic. Tashma, again, speaking about broken pieces of a kli cheres. So the hemshech of that mishnah that we just quoted, that if it's the next level up, the next size level of a kli cheres, that's melog viad sa'a, that the kli in its complete state could hold between a log and a sa'a, b'revias, then the halacha is that a broken shard of that kli, if it could hold so much as a revias, is able to be mekabel tuma. So my lav sa'a kilamata, doesn't that mean that if it could hold a sa'a, that it's the same as holding less than a sa'a, where the shear would still be b'revias? So says more again, lo, sa'a kilamayla. Who says? No, maybe if it could hold exactly a sa'a, that would be like holding more than a sa'a. Okay, raya number 5, tashma, vaiter in that mishnah. What if you have the next size up, right? We were talking about a small and then medium. What if it's a large kli cheres? So sa'a v'yad sasayim. So if the kli could hold between one sa'a and two sa'a, then b'chatzilog, then the broken piece of that kli could be mekabel tuma if it could hold a chatzilog. My love, sasayim kilamata, doesn't mean that if it could hold sasayim, that it's like it's the same as holding a sa'a and a half. It's the same as holding a little less than a sa'a. So it says, well, love, sasayim kilamayla. Again, the same rejection. That who says? The case of sasayim could also be kilamayla. So says the Gemara, v'hatanya, but we have a brisa that explains the Mishnah, that lo kilamata, sa'a kilamata, sasayim kilamata. The brisa says on all three counts that our rejections of the rayas are not true, that in each case it's ad viad bichlal, it's not ad velo ad bichlal. So according to this brisa, it's all against Rav Nachman. So don't you see that Rav Nachman is incorrect when he suggests that ad velo ad bichlal, because you see over here that ad viad bichlal. Says the Gemara, you know what? There is no klal whether ad viad bichlal or ad velo. There's no klal to take every ad that appears in the Mishnah and try to explain whether it's ad bichlal or lo ad bichlal. The brisa that said that in this Mishnah about the kli cheres, that when we say up until a log, it means up until and including, up until the sa'a means up until and including, up until sasayim means up until and including, is not trying to say, and that therefore tells me ad viad bichlal everywhere. No, hasam l'chumra. The brisa is just saying that we go l'chumra, that a broken piece from even a larger kli would still be tameh. So that's a chumra when it comes to the dinim of a kli cheres. So the same when it comes to the shear of how much is missing from a behema for it to be a trefa, as as a result of that, Rav Nachman will explain the Mishnah as ad v'lo ad b'chlal, because that would be the chumrah, that that up until a certain size, it's still not a treifa, Once you hit that size, the chumrah would be that as soon as you hit that size, now it's a treifa. So we go the chumrah in both directions. Damar Rabbi Yavahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shiurei chachamim, all the shiurim that the chacham give in a Mishnah or a Braisa about Tumah, about Isser, so lahachmir, chutz mikigris, shal ksamim lahakel. All the shiurim are meant to be a chumrah, and therefore you can say ad v'ad b'chal or ad v'lo ad b'chal, depending on what is going to be the bigger chumrah. As with one exception, that's the shiur kigris when it comes to nida. The halacha is that a roa kesef, if a woman finds a stain, so we assume that that she'll be tamei. But when Chazal instituted the din of ksamim, they realized that it's going to be a big problem if they're metamei anyone who ever finds a stain of blood, because they used to find a lot of stains of blood all over the place. The Gemara has an expression, "Ein l'chol kol mito mito shein baharbe tipe damim," that every bed has a whole bunch of tipe damim all over it, because they didn't live in the most sanitary conditions. So they realized that they had to be makel on any kesef that's smaller than a kugrisva ode, that's smaller than the size of whatever, of an American penny, of a kugrisva ode. So that shear is meant to be a kula, and therefore it's kugrisva ode is the shear. But if it's exactly the size of a gris, we would say it's still tahar. So that's where we're going to be makel. But otherwise, we always assume l'chumra. Now, what do you mean you always assume l'chumra? A shear is a shear, so it should be it should have some universal meaning. When we say something is a kazayas or a kabetza, it should be exactly, no, it should have a universal meaning, whether it includes ad kazayas, kazayas itself, ad kabetza, kabetza itself. So in the pre-Torah in Yeridei and Siman Lamed, he explains that whenever it comes to a measurement, we can never be 1,000% precise. So what do? We either err on the side of in one direction, or err on the side of the other direction. So every measurement has two ways of measuring it. So we're saying that the shiurim are precise. How we measure the shiurim, you can either measure it safely where you're very confident that you have the full shiur, or you can measure it where you're very confident that you didn't go over the full shiur, but you might have a little bit less. Deka nami, and it's muchach, that the lashon of ad could be adjusted based on the context, whether it's ad b'chal or lo ad b'chal. The katoni ala dahi, because the brisa that explains the Mishnah about the rope that sticks out of the bed, chamisha kilamayla, asara kilamata. It said that if it's five tvachim long, then that's already kilamayla. That's as the same as being more than five tvachim long. And if it's 10 tvachim long, that's same as being less than 10. Because remember, by the bed, between 5 and 10, that's the only that's the only window that we could be machmir on. So we're going to be machmir in both directions, because ad does not universally mean ad b'chlal, nor does it universally mean lo ad b'chlal, whatever is going to yield a chumrah. So in that case, it could even be an inconsistency within a single Mishnah. Now we move on. Nita latchol. So we said that in the Mishnah about eluk sheros, about the animals that are kosher, if the spleen is missing, the animal's kosher. So Amar Aviru Mishmei the Rava Lo Shonu El Nital Aval Nikav Treifa. That's only if the spleen is missing. But if the spleen has a hole in it, then it's a treifa. Masav Rabbi Yosi Bar Avin Viitem Rabbi Yosi Bar Zvida. So Rabbi Yosi Bar Avin Viitem Rabbi Yosi Bar Zvida asks from the Mishnah that we're going to have later on in Daf Samech Ches that discusses the Isra of Ever Minachai. So it says in the Mishnah, Chotech me uber shebimei eha, that if you cut off a piece of the fetus of a kosher animal inside of it, and you leave that piece inside the mother until after the shechita, mutar ba'achila, you're allowed to eat it. It's not an isra of Eivor Menachai, because the shechita of the mother, it takes away the isra of Eivor Menachai from the behema and from everything that's inside of the behema. So therefore, everything inside of that behema, you're allowed to eat. But if you cut off a piece of the spleen or of the kidneys from the animal while it was alive, so you did surgery and you cut out pieces of the spleen and the kidney, and you left them there, you left them inside the animal, then when you shech the animal, asr ba'achila, it's going to be Eivor Menachai to eat it, because the behema became chaser as a result of the surgery that you did of cutting out the part of the spleen or part of the kidneys, and the shechita will not take away the isr of Eivor Menachai on that which which is missing from the guf of the behema, even though it's inside the body, it's floating around inside the body of this animal. But it sounds like only a surgically removed piece of the spleen or the kidney is going to be asur b'achila, which makes it sound like ha behema guf asharia, that the rest of the behema is going to be kosher to eat. That when you shech this animal, so what did you do? You somehow reached in, cut out a piece of the spleen, and then so we said, ooh. So when you subsequently shech that animal, do not eat that piece of spleen. That piece of spleen is Eiver Menachai, because you cut it out while the animal was alive. But the implication is, yeah, but you could eat the rest of the animal. You can eat the, all the other meat of that animal is fine. But wait, I thought we just said that if you cut a spleen, then it's a treifa. So you shouldn't be allowed to eat any of the animal. The whole thing should be treif. So it says, Marno, who adinda filu behema nami asira. The truth is, the whole animal is asir, because you're right, it's treif. But I did tana resha, mutba achila, since the resha, which spoke about cutting out a piece of the fetus in the animal, says that it's mutba achila, tana that's why the Seifa spoke about the piece that you cut being asur ba'achila midin eiver menachai. But in a chinami, the rest of the animal is asur also. The ibay seima, or we could be miyashev by simply saying nikav l'chud v'nechtach l'chud. That the kasher of avir is not a kasha, because when lush of the mishnah we could be medayik that the behemah is kasher when you cut a piece from the spleen, but a hole in the spleen is more damaging to the animal than cutting a piece of the spleen. So Enochnami, when you cut a piece of the spleen, the rest of the animal is kosher. It is not a trefa. But if you drill a hole in the spleen, that would make the animal a trefa. Okay, nitla klayos. We then spoke about if the kidneys were removed, that does not make the animal a trefa. Amar rachish bar papa mishmei derav laksa b'kulyachas. If the animal had kidney disease in one of its kidneys and it's full of some sort of pus or something, so trefa. The halacha is that it's a trefa. Amri b'marava v'hu d'matoi l'kusa. That's only when the problem in the spleen reaches the makom charetz. It reaches the kidney. You know, kidney is shaped like a bean and with like a little indent on the inside of it. So if the problem in the kidney reaches that indent, that indentation in the kidney, then you know that it's a problem. Ve'eich makom charetz. Where is this makom charetz? So lichivara detusi masni. It's the white part that the white sinews that go into the middle of the kidney that reaches underneath the sides of the behema and it goes into the kidney. So Amram Nechunya Shaltinu Lukulu Trufaid Marava. He said, I asked all the trefus experts in Eretz Yisrael, and again you see that there's such a concept as trefus experts. We've pointed out throughout this parak that there seem to be a lot of names in this parak that don't appear anywhere else in Shas, or at least that don't come to mind from anywhere else in Shas, and it's possible that these were the experts in Treifas. So this is what they knew best, and that's why the Dafka quoted here, right? How often do you have that in Shas, that they ask the expert in this particular, we have like broadly, Hilchas HaKarav B'Isuri, Hilchas HaKishmuel B'Dini, that they're experts in those broad sections of Torah, but they have a particular expertise in such a subsection of Torah, and that they're the ones that you ask. Treifas is an expertise. It's a unique form of expertise. So he said, I asked all the treifas experts, and they said, we paskin like Rachish Bar Papa, that a kidney that a kidney disease will make the animal a trefa, but we do not pass on like Rav Avira that a hole in the spleen will make the animal a trefa. And Lo Amaran, that which we said that we don't pass on like Rav Avira and Behema that has a hole in the spleen is going to be kosher, Elo Bekulshe. That's only when the hole is in the place where it thins out the thickness of the spleen, and it's not really attached to the stomach. It's the bottom half of the spleen. Aval bisumchei, but in the top half of the spleen, the thicker part of the spleen, which is attached to the stomach, trefa. Then a hole there would make the animal a trefa. V'yishtayir beikov v'din rzav k'sheira. But if there's if you still have a thickness of a din rzav there in that part of the spleen, so then it's going to be kosher. So Amri b'marava, they said in Eretz Yisrael, kala posel b'reya, kosher b'kulya, all of the different types of problems that would posel in a lung would be kosher in a kidney. And the behemoth would not become a treif if these things appear in a kidney. Sharei nekev, posel b'reya, because after all, when we check lungs for treifas, we're looking for a hole in the lung. A hole in the lung would make it a treifa, for kosher b'kulya, but a hole in the kidney, and it's going to be kosher, it's not going to be problematic, because we said in yesterday's daf that the Bnei Beis of Rav Papa Bar Abba would trap animals by shooting arrows at their kidneys dafka, and they asked Rabbi Abba whether the shechita of such an animal after it was hit by the arrow would be machshir ba'achila, and he said that we can't be mosif on the trefos, right? That was yesterday's daf we had. You can't be mosif on the trefos, so it's not a trefa problem. So you see that a hole in the kidney does not make it a trefa. The kolshke certainly that which is not a problem on a lung will certainly not be a problem when it comes to a kidney. So maskev l'Rav Tanchuma uklaluhu, he says, is that really true that it's a klal that whatever would not make the animal a trefa in the lung would likewise not make the animal a trefa if the same thing happened in the kidney? Vahare mugla, what about a problem of mugla, which is a certain type of liquidy substance that is like a honey-like substance, to kasher bereya, that if you find it in the lung, it's going to be kasher upasul bekulya. But if you find such a pasi kind of substance in the kidney, it's going to be a trefa. Vare mayim zakin and vaiter. We have another kasha. What about clear water? Diksherim hacha v'hacha, where the behemoth is kasher, whether you find it in the lung or whether you find it in the kidney. The Rashi writes, doesn't know what kind of kasha this is from Mayim Zakin. Meaning, what do you mean? That's okay if it's kasher in both. Why would that be a problem? So you have to figure out what the Gemara is adding over here with the Mayim Zakin. So what is ksherim hacha v'hacha? Okay, so the Achronim work on that. So Elam Ravat, meaning, but the other kasha seems like a really strong kasha. That you mean to tell me that it's Haba Atalia, that whatever's going to be kasher in the lung is automatically going to be kasher in the kidney as well? What about the mulgo, which is kasher in the lung and is a trefa in the kidney? Salam Ravashi, trefos kamadam sadadi. You think you could compare trefos from one limb to the next? Ain om b'trefos zodom alazo. We don't say that by trefos, that you can compare this type of ailment or injury to that type of ailment or injury. Shari chotch mikan umesa, chotch mikan v'chaisa. I mean, that's the way animals are. You cut one part of the body and you hit a major artery and it bleeds out and it dies, and you make the same type of slice or even a larger slice in a different part of the body, and it doesn't die. That's all right. When Cain killed Hevel, he's called Demei Achicha Tzalak Malay Min Adama. Demei, because it's Harbe Damim, Chazal tell us, because he didn't know where to kill him. He didn't know, you know, it was the first time anyone ever tried to kill anybody. So, you know, he had to cut him all over the place until he hit a major artery and he was able to kill him. So that's just a basic feature of anatomy of a human being or an animal. So the Gemara explains, Umayim Zakin, and ksherim lo amar el detzili. When we say that water in a kidney is going to be kosher, it's not going to be trefa, that's only if it's clear water, avalachiri. But if it's foggy water, trefa, then it's going to be trefa. V'chitzili nami lo amar el delo suriach. And even if it's clear water, that's only when it's not it doesn't smell awful, aval suriach trefa. But if it smells awful, then it's going to be a trefa. Now once Rachash Bar Papa explained the din of a kidney that is damaged or that is diseased, the Gemara explains the din of a kidney that is shrunken. So akulya shektina bidaka ad kipol. If it's in a behema daka and it's shrunk, then up until the shrinkage of the size of a bean is still not going to be a trefa. Once it shrinks beyond that, it's a trefa. Begasa, and on behema gasa ad ka'anova beninis, till the size of an average grape, which is somewhat problematic. The Ravan explains that what he's talking about, an average grape is not any bigger than a bean. So he says, yeah, but the Gemara must have been talking about it in Eretz Yisrael, where the grapes were gigantic, so the average grape was much bigger than the size of a bean. And the Maram Shik points out, yeah, but it's still not proportional, meaning Behema Daka could be, one-fifth of the size of a Behema Gasa. And there's no way, the grape is not five times bigger than the bean, but the Maram Shik says it doesn't have to be proportional, meaning we just need a kidney that's able to supply the body with the proper filtration so that the animal can survive. And that this is the size of a kidney that you need, meaning that and kidneys themselves are not universal size. Kidneys can come in slightly, just like people come in different sizes, and parts of people's bodies come in different sizes, parts of people's kidneys. Sometimes people have different sized kidneys. So, but there's a size of a kidney on an animal that will be so shrunken, that will be so tiny, that it's not feasible that the animal can function anymore. Nita l'chiyatach, when we said if the lower jaw were removed, it's still not a trefa. Amar Rabbi Zeira, so Rabbi Zeira comments, lo shanu this is in parentheses, because the Beis Yosef and the Maram don't write that this din was not said by Rabbi Zeira. I mean, even though the Gemara is quoting Rabbi Zeira, it can't be Rabbi Zeira, because the Rif and the Rambam don't quote this din, and the Rush quotes this din in the name of Gaonim. So it must have been an edition of the Gaonim, but since our Gemara says Amar Rabbi Zeira, will read it. Lo shanu elichol lichios al yedei li'ita. That's only if the behemah is able to live by putting some food into its mouth in a place where it's able to spit out the food, vehamra'a, or by sticking the food all the way down its throat. Avaleini lichios al yedei li'ita vehamra'a trefa. But if its jaw were removed and there's no way to feed it, then it is a trefa. If it cannot take in any food, it's going to be a trefa. Nidla eim shalom. We then said that if the womb is removed, it's also not a trefa. Tana hi ha'eim, hi tarpachas, hi shalpuchis. You'll see throughout this parak different names for the same thing. It's all referring to the uterus, that if the uterus is removed, and it has all these different names. V'charusa b'dei shamayim k'sheira. If the animal were its lungs were shriveled as a result of something that happened b'dei shamayim, as a result of an act of God, it is going to be kosher. So Tanu Rabbanan Ezuhi charusa. What does it mean to have charusa? Kol shetzamka rea shela, that its lungs were shriveled b'dei shamayim, because of an act of God, thunder or something that frightened it to the point that its lungs shriveled up. So k'sheira, that's going to be kosher. But b'dei adam, but if a person frightened the animal and caused its lungs to shrivel, trefa, then it's going to be a trefa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, af b'dei kol abrios, even if it were other animals that caused the animal to be frightened and caused its lungs to shrivel, that would likewise be something. So it says more, likewise what? Likewise to b'dei shamayim, or likewise to b'dei adam? So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, aresha kai ulakula, is he saying that that's like an act of God and therefore it would not make it a trefa? Or is that like an act of man and therefore that would be considered yes a trefa? It's not clear what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is saying. So says Mar Tashma, we'll bring a raya. The Tanya, charusa b'dei adam trefa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer af b'dei kol abrios, that the Braisa doesn't even mention b'dei shamayim, it only mentions b'dei adam, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, yeah, and if a lion or a tiger or something roared at it, that's the same thing as b'dei adam. So you see that he meant that b'dei adam, and that therefore it's going to be a trefa, that he was coming as a chumra. Rabbi Bechana v'kazal b'midbar, Rabbi Bechana was going in the midbar, ashkechanu dikri ditzamek rea ditu, he found two rams whose lungs were shriveled. So he came to ask Shail in the Beis Medrash whether it's a trefa or not. So they told him, Bekaita, in the summertime where it's very hot and the house is very hot, you should bring a bowl made from white cheres, which has a cooling effect, and fill it with cool water, and you should put the lungs in this water for 24 hours. If they then become more robust and they look like the healthy lungs again, then you could know that the fright that was caused its animal that caused its lungs to shrink came b'dei shamayim, and therefore the animal is kosher. But v'ilo, if it does not, the lungs do not become robust again, they do not swell again, then trefa, then it's going to be a trefa. B'sitva, and in the winter time, I see mishikli shichume, bring a kli charas made out of black charas, umalinu mayapshoria, fill it with warm water, va'anchinu me'isleis, and leave these lungs in there in the kli for 24 hours. Patra Barya again. If it becomes more robust again, then Kshera, then it's considered to be something that happened Bidei Shemayim and is kosher. Vila, Trefa, and otherwise it's considered to be, we assume that it was something that happened Bidei Adam, and therefore it's going to be a Trefa. Hagiluda, we then said in the Mishnah that if you have an animal that's skin was entirely removed, so Rav Meir says it's kosher, and the Chum say it's possible. Tan Rabbanan, Hagluda, Rabbi Meir, Machshir, V'chacham, Poslim. So, Kvar Hei, the Elazar Safra, V'yochanan, Ben Gudgada, Ala Gluda, that these Rabbi Elazar Safra and Yochanan, Ben Gudgada, were made about an animal missing its skin, Shepsula, that it's a trefa. So, Amr, Rabbi Shimon, Elazar, Chazubo, Rabbi Meir. Not only that, Rabbi Meir changed his mind. Initially, he held that it was kosher when its all skin was removed, and he also now holds that it's aser. So mechlal to the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar palig Rabbi Meir begluda. Sounds like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that Rabbi Meir did disagree initially about a gluda, and that's why he had to change his mind to finally agree. But Vatanya, but didn't we learn in the Brisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar lo nechluku Rabbi Meir v'chamal gluda shapsula, that there never was a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chum about a gluda that it's possible? Ukvar hey Rabbi Yoshaya ben Osho Yehuda Abbasam, and Rabbi Yoshaya the son of Rabbi Yehuda the perfumer said lefnei Rabbi Akiva mishum Rabbi Tarfon ala gluda shepsula, that it's going to be possible if it's missing all of its skin. V'nishtayer bo kesela ksheira, but if it still has some skin attached with the size of a sela, that's going to be kosher because that's enough for the skin to heal itself. So it turns out that according to the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that a mayor never argued on the chachamim. So how come the previous Brisa says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Elazar that initially Rabbi Meir did argue on the chachamim, and it's just that later he changed his mind? So Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my lo nechluku lo amad Rabbi Meir b'machlokoto. That when we say lo nechluku, it doesn't mean that he never argued. It means that he did not maintain his machlokas because eventually he changed his mind. So Amar Mar in Mishnah book kesela ksheira, we said that if the animal is missing all of its skin except for a piece of skin the size of a sela, then it's going to be kosher. So hecha, where does that skin the size of a sela need to be? So Amar Rav Shmuel al pnei shidra kula, it's got to run along the entire spine, and from there the skin will be able to grow back. So yibaylu da'arich v'katin, do we mean that it's got to run along the entire spine where it's very, very narrow, the chimitzar v'lavik sela, where if you would then take all of that skin together, it would equal one sela? Odilma baruch sela al pnei shidra kula. Or maybe when we say that the shear is a sela, it means the width of a sela, but that runs along the whole length of the spine, which is actually skin that's way more than a sela, because it runs the whole length of the spine. So Tashma says, well, I'll bring you a raya. The parish Rabbi Nurai Mishmei Dishmuel, Rabbi Nurai explained in the name of Shmuel that you need to leave baruch of kesela, you need to leave the width of a sela, al panei kol ashidra kula, that runs along the length of the whole spine. Rabbi Chana says that the place that needs to remain with a sela is not when it's on the spine alone, but rather rashi prakim. You need a sela on the rashi prakim of each of the joints of the animal's bones, and that and therefore each vertebra of the spine also needs some live skin on it. That Rabbi Lazar ben Antigonus says in the name of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yanai that the place that you need to have a live skin that's the size of a sela for an animal to be kosher is not across the spine nor on the Rosh Yiprakim, but on the Makom Tiburo, in the middle of the animal's belly. So by Rabbi Shmuel asks, according to Shmuel that says that you need the live skin to run across the whole spine, Nita Makom Ashidra Vikulo Kaim, what if you have no live skin on the running along the spine, but the whole rest of the body has live skin? Would that work? Nitzal makom tiburo v'kulakayim, nitzal roshi prakim v'kulakayim, or wherever you hold the live skin needs to be, even though the rest of the animal is skinned, and the animal will be kosher as long as live skin remains on this tiny portion of the animal, whatever that tiny portion is. What if that place doesn't have live skin, but the whole rest of the animal has live skin? So what's the halacha in such a case? Teiku, the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. resolved. So Amirav, Kola or Kula Matzil Begluda. All of wherever you have skin the size of a cella, wherever it may be, it's Matzil on a Gluda, Chutzme or Besa Prasos, except for the skin on the bottom of the feet where the animal walks, where the animal tramples, because that doesn't have a real din of skin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu or Besa Prasos Nami Matzil. No, even the or Besa Prasos will still be Matzil, a skinned animal. So by me, Rabbi Yassim, Rabbi Yochanan, or Besa Prasos. Does the Arbeisa process work to save a gluda, to save an animal that's otherwise skinned clean? Amalei matzil. He says, yes, it is matzil, and it will prevent the animal from being a trefa, because it taka does have the din of skin of an animal. So, and as we said, as long as there's skin of a certain size that remains on the animal, we assume it can grow back and the animal will not be a trefa. So we are defining the Arbeisa process as being skin that can save the animal from being a trefa. So Beis Hashem will continue that discussion of the Arbeisa Prasos on Thursday morning. I'll be back in shul, and it will be regular time on Thursday morning, regular time on Friday morning, Beis Hashem, and then probably on Sunday we'll do Monday's daf in the afternoon. So stay tuned to the chat for all that information.